Hello and welcome to another Cake Wolf's Happy Hour special monthly edition. Hopefully, possibly, we will see in the future. I am joined with the Phantom Capsule, my friend from sunny California. How are you, sir?
Hello. How are you?
Hey, what's up, man? He's part German, part Russian. I'm not sure where that accent comes from.
Oh,
maybe it's a California thing.
I am from Lithuania. This is my best.
We got a lot of weirdos out there in California. Thankfully, the Phantom Capsule is not one of them.
No. I'm actually weird.
Fortunately enough, he is not out in the streets cleaning his menstrual blood with flags. That is not what he does.
No, that's weird though. But I see that every day down at the bus stop. Actually, that's a common occurrence at the bus stop out here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So Cake Wolf, thank you for having me, man. This is pretty cool. I'm excited.
I'm excited too.
What are we planning?
I mean,
today?
We've been friends since what? We were 16. A long time.
Before that, you were 16. I was but an innocent child that you were luring into your van at the time.
Sweet 16. I had to break my cherry somehow.
Yeah, man. you know what's really great?
One of us had a blow pop that day.
I was going to say, that candy you had was so good. What'd you lace that with? TLC and a little bit of love?
Tender love and care. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what comes in the pop rocks. They pop in your mouth with some good sweet loving. Mm, nope. So tell me why you love political horror. Because you must. We are playing a political horror game today. It's going to lead into Wraith. It's going to start off semi-mortal. But that is essentially what we're playing. So
I kind of like politics. I'm getting a little bit older, and I follow online. I found that the last 2 years have been the most entertaining years of my life when it comes to watching politics. So, you know, I totally dig it. And
so when Trump was elected, you went out to the local convenience store, you grabbed the first bag of Cheetos that you could find, you threw them in your blender, and then you just rubbed them all over your face, right? Is that what you did?
I first sprayed myself with champagne, and I rubbed it all over my body. I did this out in the middle of... I actually drove up to San Francisco just to do it in front of the mayor's office. It was awesome.
Running around with a little Mario Kart toadstool sticking out of your pants.
I think that's pretty common with us. We all have little Mario Kart toadstools.
Portobello mushrooms.
What did he used to say? Let's go! Mario Kart?
Yeah, that's a pretty good voice for him. You do voices pretty well, actually, Phantom Capsule, because you have... background in acting. I've seen you do some plays, and you're fantastic at it.
Well, thank you, man. That's really nice of you to say. It really helps whenever you're raising a 2-year-old, which I'm doing now. I plan on raising a 2-year-old that's my own child, not just one I steal. So that'll help someday in the future. I don't know what's going to happen on this one. Yeah, I did a fair amount of acting. I did 13 years. I started when we were in high school, and I got a good amount of experience. We even did some audio work we're trying to do together there for a bit. And I'm actually pretty thrilled that we're going to do this recording here and have some fun playing an RPG. We used to play this all the time, you and I.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, our group, I don't know who... Have you caught Wanyo? Do we call him... The Chris?
Oh, he goes by Delarthian.
Ah, Delarthian, of course. Yes, so has he been on the show yet?
Yes. Cool. Yes.
Very neat.
Episodes upcoming.
All right. Okay, so Delarthian, yourself, myself, and another friend of ours, a couple of other friends. We're playing
Cycling
like...
Cast.
Mm-hmm. We played all of these World of Darkness games. We rocked them, man. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I still enjoy them, actually, and I feel like I can enjoy them more now than I did back then. Granted, I don't have enough time to enjoy them as much as I would like to, but maybe in the future.
Yeah.
You know, we all get old.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure,
very
sure.
old, and then get put into homes
that's,
so we can
be doing
this. That's
what I'm counting on. I have a collection of 1,700 video games currently.
Yes.
Mostly
that
it's
is
a
insane.
Steam collection. Mostly it's a Steam yeah. collection. And my wife says, how many video games do you beat a year? And I say, beat? Because I don't.
How many do you beat off to a year?
Oh, well, that's essentially Dead or Alive Extreme Beach Volleyball, which I do have in my
there
collection.
There you go.
And I play it every night at about 11:30 when my wife starts snoring.
Also, there's that nice pigeon one that you can beat off to, right? The Tory pigeon.
I don't even know. What are you talking about?
There's some Japanese game on Steam where you play as a pigeon and you romance Japanese girls to take off their clothing. You've not heard of this?
I have not seen this one, but I'm going to look for it immediately after our session.
I'm pretty sure it's like Hattori Pigeon or something stupid like that.
What I would like is if that was kind of like, what was that, 1942? Have you ever played that shmup game, the old shmup
yes.
game, 1942?
Yeah.
Except you're a mm-hmm. pigeon and you're dropping, you know, your droppings into the cleavage of Japanese girls. That sounds like a game.
Yeah. Yeah. So they just got to rip off their tops.
Boop, 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 boop. That's how they die. Whoa. So, yeah.
So let's, for the listeners, have you call out some horror movies that you like.
Okay.
You don't have to list your favorites, but just ones that you enjoy.
I don't know if I'm going to be as eclectic as you are. I mean, you've introduced me to some of my craziest ones.
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's always somebody out there that's going to one-up somebody else. I get one-upped all the time.
Sure.
I just, yeah. That's just how it goes.
Have you guys mentioned Dog Soldiers yet?
Dog Soldiers is a fantastic one.
Dog Soldiers.
I hope I give you the shits.
I hope I give you... Yeah. And he spits in the... Oh, my God. Such a great... That scene where yeah. he's got the pan, and he's just screaming and smacking the thing on the head. Oh, such a good scene. It's beautiful.
I love it.
And being being a movie buff myself, because I'm a movie buff, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
that is actually a really well-made movie. Like, you can really mm-hmm. feel emotion, and it's quite good. Oh, gosh.
And it's a werewolf movie that's good, which is rare.
So few of them. So few.
Yeah.
It's... The Howling One, American Werewolf in London, mm-hmm. and Dog Soldiers, and that's it. We don't have any other ones.
There's a few that I would throw out there.
What, Ginger Snaps? Would you say Ginger Snaps?
Oh, I was going to go Project Metal Beast.
Oh, I've never seen that. Project Metal Beast?
You don't want to. It's from the 80s. It's essentially somebody read an Iron Man comic,
yeah.
and they were like, you know what would make this better?
Ooh.
If Iron Man was a werewolf.
You know what? I'm behind this. I'm 100% okay. behind this.
All right.
There is one other one. Teen Wolf. That's another really good one.
There you
Teen
go.
Wolf.
Yeah.
You're a wolf man, I guess. I think Dog Soldiers is number one. I'm thinking.
Well, you
80s.
Love werewolves.
I love werewolves, man. I was huge into mm-hmm. Werewolf the Apocalypse. Have you got a game like that going yet?
I do not. I want to in the future. Right now, nobody's picked up on it, but I've been mentioning Pentex Corporation names
nice.
Throughout my campaigns. Just. You know, because I like to bleed things in until I open up a whole game.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been mentioning, Deborah, I've been mentioning that creature. And that's actually from a werewolf book that you introduced me to, Phantom Capsule. That was the dinosaur that lived in TVs. Remember that thing?
Yes.
It was in one of the Changing Breed books.
Yes. So
yeah.
I listened to that one. I listened to the one where you had the dinosaur, essentially Barney,
yeah.
singing there.
Yeah.
It was great. I also just got all of my Changing Breed books. I've reordered them.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Awesome. So I've got the whole Changing Breed collection that I've got to read through again. But I'm trying, I started a hunter campaign. With Will, who I don't have a nickname for just yet, but
that's fine.
He and his girlfriend are playing Hunter. Hunter, by the way, for you listeners at home, is the, in my opinion, the best way to be introduced into World of Darkness. I really think it mm-hmm. is, because it encapsulates the horror of the universe the best, because you're actually playing a character that's supposedly not super powerful. You're supposed to play a character who's going to die. So I think it's really a great game. So we're playing that, and it's going pretty well. I'm throwing some stuff at him. But
nice.
You got me psyched.
Darian Brock, he's going to be running Hunter very shortly, actually.
Yeah, I would love to play a Hunter game, too. Hunter's another one. This, the thing about Hunter, though, this is my deal, is whenever I first listened to Hunter, it was literally the same month that I bought the first album of Linkin Park. So I directly associate it with Linkin Park.
There you go. Weird.
So speaking of horror, other ones. I got to say something from the 80s. And I want to say something like Night of the Creeps or The Blob remake from 1986 is another really great
both.
One.
Those yeah. are
those are both
I love them both.
Awesome. Like The Blob remake where he's like the boyfriend's covered in the blob and he reaches out and then she grabs his arm and his arm breaks off. It stuck with me. It's viscerally horrible for the rest of my life. It may be one of the scariest moments in horror movie history. Yeah. It's really, like, you can really feel the awful pain that character's going through. And then
you got some good ones there.
Yeah.
That's Darian's favorite movie, actually.
The Blob from 1986?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's a really good one. I'd say one last one. I gotta go back to... I want to also say The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing.
Fantastic.
Another great one. But I really need to go back to the 30s and say something from the 30s. And maybe Freaks, if you could still consider it a horror movie. Some people don't.
Todd Browning, right?
I mean, it's as horror-related as the classic Universal monster movies. But I really like
that. I would
like
consider it horror. Some people consider the old Hunchback of Notre Dame horror. Like, it's all, you know, interpretive to a degree, I think.
Yeah, I would also go with Freaks, just because Freaks has such influence on so many other movies. And it's so not well known. And it's still, until you see that, when you watch Freaks for the first time, I feel like it unlocks these doors. And you're just like, oh, I get all these references that have been in so many things that I've seen throughout the years. I mean, the one of us, that's a big one. Google gobble, Google gobble. And that, of course, reminded me of UK Wolf. Google gobble,
that.
Google gobble.
Yeah. Even today, they're pulling stuff from that. Like in the American Horror Story show, they're dropping in the Pinhead characters.
Yeah.
Have
you seen the new, did you see Valerian?
No,
it's science fiction. Valerian,
I've not.
City of something, something. You got to check it out. Mm-hmm. There's some Pinhead references in it that I think are worth your while.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Well, going back to what we were saying about, political horror, American Horror Story, as we know, they had a whole season that was based on that. Now they have their apocalypse show, which again is feeding off of the current political climate and the fear that is being spread through social media. Mm-hmm. But what do you think about this? Do you think that politics, the current climate of our nation's politics, are having a positive impact on horror? To enlighten people with movies like Get Out or shows like American Horror Story? Or do you think that it's actually causing more damage than doing more good?
You know what? I think there's a good thing to be said about horror being sort of an outlet for our ids in many ways. Like there, we need to express that sort of fear. My issue is that people don't seem to understand that we can deal with that sort of fear with horror, and that it's a better outlet than taking it out on each other. So I am a fan, definitely, of the new horror flicks that are coming out now. It follows The Guest. Have you ever seen The Guest? Came out not too long
ago.
Yes, really good.
Yeah, that was great.
Really good flick. I was definitely a fan of that one, and even there's just even some more visceral, not horror movies, but they're like viscerally gory, like Turbo Kid. Did you see Turbo Kid came out?
Yeah, I enjoyed that one.
A couple years
ago.
That's
something that horror fans can enjoy.
Absolutely. Yeah. This guy getting his head cut off and spinning around in circles. It's freaking awesome. I think that those that we are seeing a lot of really good horror and gore coming out, and it very well may be connected to the political tension that's going on right now. I think that more people, if you're feeling anxiety and stuff like that, go watch some horror flicks. You know, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely get that tension out of you and enjoy some of that stuff. It's a really great outlet. It's a really excellent outlet. As for whether or not it's justified, I think there are plenty of other generations that we've seen within history that have had far more reason to feel awful. Maybe it's a little bit of people are just a little too comfortable and a little too nervous that their comfort is going to be going away. So... That's sure. My opinion.
Yeah.
But yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that we're getting any films that are going to be as impactful as, say, Godzilla was?
Mm. Are we talking which Godzilla here?
The original, like how impactful that was for the Japanese culture. Do you think we're getting anything like that for our culture? Do you think Get Out might be that movie?
Well, you know, Godzilla reflected the dropping of the nuclear bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The closest thing that our country has really experienced to that is 9/11. And I don't know, you might know better than me, but do we have a horror movie reflection of that experience? Do you know of?
Not that I'm aware of.
I don't either. I don't think that we do.
I think Odd Thomas could have been that movie, but instead they took a completely different route for it and they made it a teen action movie.
Have you read the book on Odd Thomas?
A long time ago, I barely remember it, but I know that it had the potential to go there.
It seemed like more of a reflection of the Columbine incidents, frankly. But
okay.
Yeah, I agree with you that there's a little bit of political horror in that. I don't think that we Maybe that's an issue. Maybe we haven't dealt with the 9/11 thing well enough within our culture, and it hasn't been reflected. Maybe that's an opportunity for young filmmakers out there to really concentrate on and see if there's something that they can pull out. But it has been a while. I mean, Godzilla was 10 years, roughly 10 years after the bombings, and and we're almost at 20 here. We're almost two decades out. And in the meantime, people are getting upset about, well, you know, a guy being a foul mouth on Twitter, frankly, which would be funny. By the way, great idea for a horror movie. I'm thinking Mojo from the X-Men universe, you know, essentially being on Twitter. I like it. Other than that, no, I really don't. I don't see us having the proper event to really reflect what's going on. And instead, we're kind of grasping at straws and saying, oh, we all hate each other and things like that. That's all in our minds. It's not visceral enough. It's not something you can really grasp hold of, just like the bombings of Nagasaki and Hiroshima. But we'll see.
Yeah. Well, there are plenty of things happening out there that I think can be elaborated on more in horror, but we will continue discussing things of this nature in later recordings, and for now we're going to move on into our game, because that's essentially what we're here for. I just wanted to get you guys to know a little bit about the Phantom Capsule, and so therefore I threw some questions at him.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for participating.
I really appreciate it. One day whenever I run for president, I hope that they take this as our first public recording. Me talking about Night of the Creeps and Gobble 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 Gobble.
So what we're going to be doing here is running the Phantom Capsule in essentially Wraith, but it's going to start before we get into the meat of the campaign, and this is to kind of help him build his character. He has a baseline for his character, and this is just to kind of build some of the things for his character sheet as far as what his fetters could be, allies, contacts, and stuff of that nature. So let's go ahead and kick right into it. Phantom Capsule, you are currently in this strange fugue state. You are opening and closing your hands, and everything feels kind of mushy and heavy, and your eyes are open, but there's this film over them that's making everything around you blurry. So you bring your hands up to your face and you try to wipe whatever might be caught in your eyes away, but you can't get it off. And you start feeling like you're panicking, like your nerves, your heart, your lungs, and you think about it and you don't feel yourself breathing, and that makes you feel panicked. And your footsteps seem like extremely heavy, and you get these vibrations that go up your limbs each step you take. It reminds you of an old movie you saw of Frankenstein, and how he moved real slow and just kind of almost childlike, not really sure where he was. And in the same fashion, you're not sure where you are. And you feel this strange sound coming at you, everything around you is hard to see, so you can't really tell what you're looking at when you face the direction of the sound. But you do hear people shouting.
I would start to struggle, I imagine. Frustration, distinct want to survive. Am I choking? Can I breathe?
You're unable to breathe. You don't feel like you're choking, but you're definitely panicking because this is whatever is happening to you. This is something you've never experienced before. And in this state of panic, and you hear these noises of people shouting at you. Mm-hmm. You hear a voice. It says, Jesse. And you feel yourself go somewhere else for a moment. And you're able to see clearly now. Things are in full colored view, and you're a child again. You're on a playground, and there's a boy in front of you, and he pushes you into a group of other kids. There's a bunch of kids surrounding you. All of the sounds just kind of start swirling around you as you tumble back into these other kids. And I had told you before we started recording that I'm going to try and build some of your background through this. So this is one of those moments. The kid in front of you, you know that his name is Marvin. And the kids call him Mean Marvin. He's a bully. And he's been picking on a friend of yours. And because you stood in the way, he's now trying to start a fight with you. Your friend is off in the distance. He's got a bloody nose and he's just sitting there crying. Now, what are you going to do in this situation?
So he just pushed me down. He just pushed me down to my feet, right?
He pushed you into a group of other kids and they kind of like pushed you back towards him.
Okay. I say, what's your problem? I say, where are we at? Where's the location right now?
You're just on a playground. So the adult supervision is not around you, obviously, or this would have been broken up.
Okay. I say, what's your problem? Stay away from him. How's he reacting?
There ain't no getting me to stay away from him, you little shit, Jesse. He is my bitch, and now I'm going to make you my bitch, too. Since you got all the strength in you, right, to stand up for him, I'll show you how much strength you got. Come on over here.
Okay. I'll come over there.
Now, I want to know if you're going to go at him physically or if you're going to talk him down or what you're going to do in this situation.
Okay, I'd like a second to take a look at what's around me. Is there anything around me, anything that I can use to my advantage? Sticks on the ground, a hill, a sandbox nearby, a pit, anything like that.
I'm going to be rolling for you, okay?
Okay, that's fine.
I rolled two tens.
Oh!
You actually find a knife that's sticking out of the ground. It's just the back end of the hilt of it. It's like somebody really pushed it in there. You know that there were some kids earlier that year that had a knife, and the teachers were going around looking to see who had it, and the kids hid it somewhere, and nobody knew where, but now you found out where they hid it. They hid it in the dirt, and it's right by your feet.
You gotta be kidding me. Okay. How old am I again?
You are about 10 years old.
10 years old. 10 years old. All right.
Well, I'm gonna say, I'll say you're 13.
Okay.
Make it a little bit more believable for the situation.
Okay. What can I do with a knife? All right. Well, I'm gonna.
Well, you don't have to use the knife.
No. But... I don't exactly want to use it directly. But is there anything? How about just the area around? We're in a park, right?
You are.
Okay.
There is a sandbox nearby. There are rocks on the ground. Rocks. Mulch.
Okay, rocks and mulch. Okay, this is what I like. All right, I'm going to start positioning myself where I'm circling him and keeping his eye contact. I'd like to do that. I'll be like, that's right. I'm incredibly strong. I'm incredibly bright. And that makes me two things that you are not.
Okay. And when you say this, it catches him off guard. And he's not sure how to respond to it. So he just kind of lets his
now. Come on,
jaw
Andy. You want to start this? Come on, bring it over to me. Take it into the sandbox. You're a little piece of cat shit. You want to get in here? Come on, you belong in here.
Well, I, you know, don't really need to be doing this.
No. And... I don't want to hear any of that. You must be quicker than this if you're going to start picking on me and my friends. So now, come at me. Or we're going to make this a mano a mano. I want this in this sandbox here because I don't want to get hurt too bad whenever you hit the ground. Now get on in here.
I don't need to go into that sandbox.
Oh,
I know that
you're scared. Look at you.
No.
Scared. Come on here.
Billy over there, he pees in that sandbox and I ain't going in there. we're going to fight right here.
Okay, hey, I'll tell you what. I'll fight you with one hand tied behind my back. I'll put my arm behind my back.
Okay.
Come on. You don't get a little bit of Billy pee on you. You get more pee from your friends on your face every night. Come on, man. You can handle this.
He looks nervous, and he's looking around at everybody, and he says, yeah, I'll get you later. I know what you're doing. You positioning yourself so that the teachers see me and try to swing at you, and then I'm going to get in trouble from them.
Okay, Andy, I'll tell you what. I'll kneel on the ground. Look, I'm kneeling. I'm going to kneel on the ground here for you. And meanwhile, while I'm kneeling on the ground, my hand behind my back is going to scoop up some sand.
Okay. And he says, nah, I ain't falling for that. And then he goes to walk away, but he's walking, like, towards you. And you are able to tell that he is going to take a kick or something at you that he's planning as he's walking by you while you're on the ground.
Okay. I'm going to try to avoid the sucker punch as best as possible. and throw the sand in his face.
All right, and you do it. And he gets the sand in his face after you dodge his kick. And he falls backwards. A bunch of kids start laughing at him when he falls backwards. But no. he's basically, he's on his back because he's getting the sand out of his eyes and he's freaking out, screaming about it. And, yeah, what are you going to do? He's on the ground at this point.
Okay. He's on the ground? He fell on the ground?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. When he went to go kick you and you threw that shit in his face, he just landed backwards trying to get it out of
his
eyes.
What are his friends doing? Are they trying to move in on me?
They're laughing at him.
They're laughing at him?
At okay. him, yeah.
I pull out the knife and brandish it at the other kids.
Okay.
Yeah. And I go, now all you get.
All right. They run.
I go over to Andy.
And what are you going to do? Are you going to do something else?
I go over to Andy then. Andy's the bully, right? The bully?
Sure.
Yeah, I go over to Andy. And I hold on.
Marvin. His name's Marvin.
Marvin. Is there any like water fountain or anything nearby?
Sure, of course. That's a playground. There'll be a water fountain nearby.
All right, I'm going to get a handful of water and then bring it over and help him wipe it out of his eyes.
Oh, okay. Sure. All right. You do that. Are you going to say anything else to him?
I say, Marvin?
Yes.
Your friends are gone.
What'd you say?
Your friends have left.
I see that.
There's no reason for this. Please don't do it in the future.
He looks up at you, tears in his eyes, and at which point you hear, "You were pretty pleasant to that little boy, now weren't you?" And you kind of feel your vision go back to this cloudy state where things are kind of grayish tones everywhere, but so fucking blurry you can barely tell what the hell's going on. You're almost near these people that are shouting, and you can almost make out what they're saying. You think it kind of sounds like they're saying, it's very hard to hear because everything is muffled. Your senses are totally dulled. You still are not breathing, and you hear, "You know what happened to Messy Marvin. That's what they call him now. He made a mess of himself. Your kindness only went so far. It only ever went so far now, didn't it?" And you okay. hear this clear as day. You hear it clear as day. It's the only thing that you can hear that's clear as day. Everything else is muffled. And you hear, "You should really just let it all go, Jesse. There's nothing else left for you anymore. You can't breathe now, can you? You know what that means. That means you're gone. That means you're done. What happens when you're done?"
"I'm not done."
"What happens when you're done?"
"I'm not done."
You try to say this, and you feel this film, this mucusy film, covering your mouth, and you feel it seeping out, and you try to say those words, but all you make out is this blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you almost feel this gag reflex. It's disgusting, and you kind of shuffle forward and fall into the sounds of these muffled screams. And you feel your hands brace yourself on something, and they feel familiar to you. They feel almost like bars, and you can feel, and it's numbing, but you can feel other things grabbing at you, reaching out from these bars, holding your hands, reaching for your arms and pulling you. And you then see your visions just kind of clears away again as you remember a moment where you were in a jail cell and you were visiting somebody that was on death row. Now, here's where one of my questions comes at you. Who is this person? First person that comes to mind.
Female.
Okay.
Older.
Mother?
Older than me.
Sister?
Grandmother? Teacher? Teacher?
Okay. Teacher of yours.
Close,
so
close to me.
This is a close, older female teacher. She was a mentor to you, and she's been convicted for murder. She's on death row, a series of murders. And this woman taught you almost everything that you know. And you're a man in your early 20s, I'm going to say. And she was your mentor. She was a mother figure to you, almost.
Okay.
And yeah, you were very
close. Maybe I didn't have a mother whenever I was growing up or something like that. I was abandoned or something.
Abandoned. You had no mother. You were raised alone by your father, who was absent a lot of the time. Maybe he was in the military or something.
Sure.
But
spent a lot of time with my grandparents.
Sure. She needed help, and nobody wanted to help her because of the charges against her, because of who the people were that were targeted. You did try to help, even as close as you would come to helping her out and finding out who actually did these murders, you just didn't have enough time. Maybe if you had more time, but tomorrow's the day where she's going to die, and right now you're there with her, and this is your last words to her. Jesse, thank you for coming to see me.
How could I not? How couldn't I be here for you? I just wish I was there for you whenever you needed me before.
We can't change a lot of things now, can we? I just keep moving forward and hoping for the best.
Have you spoken with God?
As much as I could, if he would listen. If he doesn't think that I betrayed him. You don't think I betrayed you, do you, Jesse? You believe me, right?
I believe you.
I'm going to say she doesn't know how hard you fought for her.
Sure.
And how far you did go, that's up to you. But
I'm going to say that how about this? I'm a young man, you say? Mm-hmm. Right here? Well, maybe I went to law school to try to help her out.
Sure.
We don't know. I don't know exactly what she's done yet so far, but I am so close to this woman that whenever the accusations came out, I couldn't believe it at all. And I thought it was a setup or some crazy like that. Maybe I've come at this point to the conclusion that I was wrong, but I have done a lot to fight for, and all I can do is ask for to look for forgiveness in God. So that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. The charges were very sick and twisted. These were charges for human trafficking, and it was really for the pleasure of others. Human trafficking in the sickest of senses, both sexual and just violence, for the sake of violence. The fact that this innocent old woman was pinned on it is something of a mystery. You know that she was targeted, but for the reasons why, God help you, you couldn't find out. She holds her hand out to you, and she says, Will you guide me into some? Will you guide me into some good, God wholesome prayer right now, Jesse? Because I need it more than anything.
Of course. Yeah, let's read from Ezekiel. I pull out a Bible that I keep. I keep a small copy of the Bible in my coat pocket, inside coat pocket, and I start reading from Ezekiel.
Okay. Okay. While you're doing that, you hear the Bible verses coming out of your mouth, and then you feel yourself get pulled back, and you feel that bubbling happening in your mouth as you're screaming, trying to pull away from these hands that are grabbing you. One of them's squeezing your hand just like that woman was, that old sweet woman, but it's fucking tight. It's a vice grip, and you can't get away from it, and they're pulling at you and pulling at you, and you feel something tearing off of you as they're pulling, and then you feel something grab you at the sides of your face, something from behind you just pulling you back away from all of these grabbing hands in front of you, and you hear this voice in your ear, clear as day. She died, Jesse. Like a fucking dog. They murdered her, and it was not pretty. You remember the sight, Jesse. How she screamed, how it didn't take. The medicine that went through her veins didn't take, Jesse. You saw her squirm. They told you she was gone, but you could see it in her eyes. She was still there. She was suffering like a dog. And you hear...
Dang, man, come on.
You hear this, and... It's awful. It's terrible. And you see these quick flashes of this poor old woman reaching out towards you, reaching towards this wall that she can't see you, but she knows you're out there somewhere and you can't do anything. You see her suffering. No one's helping her. You're the only one that can tell. And you just hear this voice laughing at you. Failure, Jesse. You're such a failure. All your good that you try to do. And what comes of it, Jesse? Only pain. Only pain, Jesse. Why not try the alternative? Why not just try stop the fighting? Just give up, Jesse. Take that knife that you found in that ground. Turn it around on yourself and end it for good.
Do I reach down?
Just give in.
See a knife? Do I feel a knife at my side?
Do I
feel something?
You do feel something in your hand.
And I pull it up.
You feel it placed in your hand.
Feel
as if something's putting it there for you.
All right. I pull it up, and then I slice the hands that are holding my face.
All right. All right. You hear a scream, and you feel this thing, one of its hands still has you, and it rips something off of you. It feels like your fucking skin.
Oh, my
gosh. The other hand, you do cut, and it lets go. But part of you is ripped, just fucking ripped. It feels like, you can't explain it, but it feels like skin. And you feel this bubbling ooze start just... leaking and pouring out of your mouth, and you fall to your knees, and you can hear out of your left ear where your skin, seemingly skin, was ripped, all of these sounds of these people, and they were saying, help me, help me, and you can look up and see them as the ooze kind of leaks away from your eye, and there's all these people in a cage that's loaded into a train, and They're all naked, and they're pleading for you for help. All of these poor people, women, children.
Can I look around with my eye? Can I like dart back and forth? Do I see lots of? Is it a room?
It's hard to see, and you're squinting, and you're still coughing up all of this goo. You're out in the street. You're in a street, and you're in front of a railway station, and this thick black sack of something that somewhat resembles skin. The closest thing you can relate it to is like you think back to your childhood and there were cicadas all over the neighborhood. And you remember the little shells that they left behind. And it reminds you of one of those shells, but it's slimier. It's very slimy.
And I'm inside of the shell, and the only crack is over my eye.
Right. And then you feel...
Can I reach out like this? Like through my hand? Like that?
You can.
That's what I try to do.
You can put your hand through the sack
and
kind of push it off of you.
Like a baby lizard and its claw coming out from the side like that. And I attempt to claw my way out from the crack near my eye.
Something grabs you and it screams and it rips more of it off of you and it throws you on the ground while it does it and you land on your back looking up at it. And a lot of this stuff is ripped off of the top half of your body at this point. And you're looking up at this horrid thing. It's just so putrescent. It's lurching over you. It's obese. It's got all of these fat jowls all throughout its body. It's got fat on its forehead, and it's leaking over on its eyes, making its eyes very squinty. It's got chains wrapped around its body all over. It's naked. It seems like at one point it was a woman, but it doesn't really look like one anymore. It's all these shades of gray, and all around it, everywhere that you see, there's shades of gray. It has chains coming out of its vagina, and it's connected to this small creature. It looks like a tiny, pudgy man, and he's on his arms, he's balancing himself up. His legs behind him seem like they don't work, and he's crawling towards you, and he's looking at you with these milky white eyes. He's completely naked, no hair on him, just this chain that's coming from her vagina, and it's attached right to his back, and it's crawling towards you, and it's reaching out.
How big is it, roughly?
It's the size almost of a child, but it doesn't look like one. It looks like a man. It looks like a dwarf. You've seen dwarves before. It resembles a dwarf. And it reaches out to you, and it says,
"Please, please, moi, please, maman, please."
And
I think shock. Shock is the only thing I could rightfully feel at this point. I kick at it, try to get away.
Yeah, you're kicking, but your legs are still in this sack, and you see this large woman lurching over you, and it goes, "Oh, mama, yum yum, will take good care of you. You come here now. There is no running." And this thing's still crawling towards you.
Is there anything above me that I can grab and pull myself up and away?
There is the cell, the cage behind you on the train. The train seems like it's about to start moving.
I'm on the train?
No. You're right behind you is the cage, the jail cage with all of these people in it. And the train is about to start moving you here.
Okay, I'll grab up to see if I can grab the cage. Can I grab something on the cage? Like a bar or something like that?
You grab one of the hands of the people reaching out.
Okay.
Okay, and you grab onto it and you get this image in your mind. It plays out just like before, and you don't want to stay here. You don't want to be here, so you let it take you back. You remember another piece of something. You don't know where this is all coming from, but you remember being on a train. You remember grabbing a hobo's hand and being helped lifted onto the train. You remember talking to this man, swapping stories with him. He was on the road for a long time. He's very hopeful for the future. And where is he going? He's going where you're going. You're both going to see the same man. You're going to see who could be the next president of the United States. You're going to see Trump. He's going to be doing a speech out in the open. And you're going to see him. You're on this train. You're arriving there. You hear the train whistle. You hear all of the sounds of people. You hear protesters. You hear people yelling. You hear anger. But you also hear hopefulness in the distance. You see all of the signs, and you hear the sounds of the train again, and then you're back to where you were. You're holding on to someone's hand. They're lifting you on to this train. They're helping you up. All of these hands helping you up. and they're pulling you onto this cage, and they're telling you it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. A lot of them are still screaming, help, help, please, no. Thank you. Some of them are hopeful. Some of them are hopeful. They're telling you it's okay. You're going to be fine. They'll help you. They're pulling this thing off of you, this sack, this disgusting mucus sack. You can hear in the distance, Mama, no! Ba-ba-boo-boo-wa-da! No! And it's still crawling towards you. It's still crawling towards you.
Is the train moving away?
It's moving. It's slowly moving away. And this thing's crawling towards you, but it's not going to make it. It's taut on the chain, and its master is standing there looking at you hungrily. It's unmoving. It's just staring, and you can see its eyes glowing in the dark as you pull away further and further. And you hear in your head again, once again, Jesse, you're going to go for hope. You're going to fight, aren't you? That's what you want to do. You just want to keep on fighting. It's just going to cause more pain, Jesse. It's just going to cause you more pain. And that's where we're going to stop it.
Great, man. That was awesome. Thank you. So what a good job, yeah. Dude. So yeah. For anyone who's listening to this, Matt used to be a GM, and he was terrible. He was awful. Now he's good.
Well, thanks.
So I'm glad he's gotten better. Only took him 20 years. Good job, man.
Well, you know.
No, seriously. It's
like jerking off, you know. You get better with time.
Yeah.
You get the aim. Or you lose your penis.
your aim gets better.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm pretty excited to explore this character in this really disturbing world.
No doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and a little reference. Ladies like that have shown up in a lot of your stories.
Yeah, actually, they're not going to know it, but the team that I'm running in Wraith, Mama Yum Yum is her name, and she's the main antagonist for a little while.
Yeah.
So
she was collecting souls then, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
She's essentially a reaper. But okay. She's very, very wicked.
I read the first chapter of Wraith. For those of you out there, you would get an understanding of what that means. Simply reading the first chapter of Wraith, you'll understand. But that was really good, dude. I really enjoyed it. I was down.
I'm excited to see what you make as far as a character from this little play session. You did have a base idea, but hopefully now you can have some like unfinished business that you can extrapolate on, and some fetters that you could have.
Sure.
Yeah.
I definitely have a good idea of a couple of different things that could be a fetter. I mean, the knife and the Bible both kind of stick out from our experience there. I think we maybe should have a little bit more of a conversation of where I was and also what age I am whenever I died. I'm at least over 20, right?
Yes, a lot of this is going to come up. I actually have some good story arcs in set for you. And now I'm going to tell people that we're ending the show, but we're going to talk for a little bit. So
sounds good.
Catch us next time. And any last words of wisdom, Mr. Phantom Capsule?
Sure. Life is a waste of time. Time is a waste of life. So get wasted all the time and have the time of your life.
That sounds pretty good. All right. Thanks for joining us, guys. Catch us next month with the Phantom Capsule. Once again, we'll continue this.
Thanks. Bye.
Get out! Last chance, told you. Get out! Get out!
Excuse me now!
What is with you guys? How about shutting up for a change, okay? I already fed you.
Beware the moon, lads.
Yeah. What the hell was that all about?